This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody, to the Totally Cool Tech podcast, edition number 505. I got in for Monday, November 22nd, 2010. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. On this episode of the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, we have Whatever Looked Good. Plus, I got myself a new wireless end router, and we're going to talk about that. All right, Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the TechPodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where you will find shows that are family-friendly and work-safe. And we're also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners all come together. That's Blueberry without the E's. So please go check out both of these sites for other great podcasts. This show is no longer sponsored by anyone else but me, but I am also powered, though, by Mountain Dew. And tonight's flavor, Whiteout. That's right, we were at Sam's Club tonight and found myself a 12-pack of Whiteout, Mountain Dew Whiteout. That was an awesome flavor that they put out for testing. And I liked it, so I voted for it. And hopefully that, I'm hoping that, you know, Mountain Dew goes for that, takes that flavor and runs with it. Anyway, we'll find out what happens with that. So, oh, let's see. What happened today? Well, this weekend I had to replace my router, my wireless router. Decided to start just dropping connections. It was dropping wireless connections, and then it started dropping the wired connection. So at first I thought maybe it was my wife's laptop was just not in the right area or something like that. Maybe there was some interference here and there. Wasn't the case. It turned out that the router itself had to be going south, and I replaced it with an older Linksys router, and WRT54G, I believe it is, version 2.3. Anyway, took that and played with it for a while, but it wouldn't work with my Xbox 360 too well. Wouldn't be able to do the Xbox Live. Couldn't do that too well. So I had to go back to the Netgear router. It was a Netgear 615, I think it was. 614. And messed around with that for a little while. Seemed to be working well again. So I thought, okay, maybe it was just something that had to be, you know, taken offline or whatever and brought back up. And nope, that wasn't it. It started even getting worse. That's when it started dropping the wired connection. So yeah, that wasn't too good. So I had to go, you know, twisting my arm, had to go to Fry's. If you've never been to Fry's, it's an electronics superstore, basically, here. At least it's on the West Coast, and a little bit back east. I know it's some in Vegas, but that's all I'm really aware of. We have two, actually, in the Sacramento area, which is really cool. One is really, really awesome. The other one, it's okay. It was a Tandy superstore at one time. What was it? What do they call it? Something Universe. And they converted that one in. They've actually started upgrading the interior, the motif and all that, so it's looking pretty slick, a lot less like a just a converted warehouse or anything like that, like a Sam's Club or Costco or anything like that. But so anyway, I had done quite a bit of research on this and I've been looking for this wireless end, and I found a D-Link 655, the DIR 655. And it has very good wireless end. It is only using the one, the 2.4 gigahertz. I think it's only using 2.4 gigahertz. It's not dual channel or dual band. Is it dual band? I don't think it is. Hold on. Yeah, it's only running the 2.4 gigahertz wireless end. But the nice thing about it, it's a gigahertz router. And I have a gigahertz wired LAN card for my recording box here. My Windows Vista, not Windows Vista, my Windows 7 box has a gigabit Ethernet card in it, which is really great. So I got a four port gigahertz router, and also does the wireless advanced WPA2. And let's see, it's the Extreme N router, and it utilizes dual active firewalls, so it has stateful packet inspection and NAT translation, which is really good. It does have, you know, intelligent QoS technology, all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. One of the interesting things it had was the SharePort technology into it, which gives a little bit more flexibility to the router. With the SharePort technology, I can connect a USB printer and share it throughout the network, or I can also share a USB storage device and provide network storage for everyone to share, which is pretty slick. I'm not sure exactly how that works, because at least on the storage, but on the USB printer, the one weird thing was, if you wanted to print to that shared printer, you had to claim it. You had to go claim it, and then when you're done, you got to release it. So that's kind of a lot of work by the users, and you know, I don't think the wife would be too happy having to deal with that. So I'm just like, don't worry about it. We're not going to worry about any of that. And I don't want the boys playing with that for their printing or anything like that. So I thought, I'll just leave that. And I might throw a hard drive on there for storage, basically network storage. And I need to look at that and see how that works. So I've only been playing with this for like a day and a half now. And things are going pretty good. Everything kind of went up easy. Brought everything back up and started looking at things. And all of a sudden I started looking at, the wireless portion of it and what's attached and all that. And I'm like, there are two things on here that are wireless in. And I'm like, that shouldn't be. I only have one wireless in, because I went out and bought a wireless in adapter as well for my wife's computer, her laptop, because it's got a little bit better range now. And it's a little bit more powerful, and it goes a lot faster, right? So she's getting about 104 megabits per second versus the theoretical 54 megabits with wireless G. And I started looking. I'm like, what the heck is this? Well, I couldn't tell right away, but I have running on my systems, I have the Network Magic, which is now owned by Cisco, I believe it is. And with it, let me fire it up here. With it, the nice thing is it has a map, and it'll go out to all the different devices that are hooked up to the network and tell you what they are. If it recognizes it, you can bring it into your network and say, hey, yeah, this is something that's trusted. Don't worry about it. And that's cool. And if it's something you don't know, it'll bring it up as an intruder, which is pretty slick. And it'll tell you about the internet, and it'll tell you about all your things, give you all the details and all that kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. But all of a sudden I found out it was my wife's iPad. And I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that it was running wireless in. I got it, to hook up to my, wireless network months ago when we bought it. And I didn't even look to see what it was running, and it's running wireless in. Actually, the iPad will do A, B, G, and N. That is just so awesome. So that was pretty cool. I do recommend it so far. I haven't had any problems with it. If I do, I will let you know. I got it from, got it from Fry's, so I will be definitely doing an overall review of it here. Not a full review or anything like that, but I'll let you guys know how it's working. And like I said, so far so good. And if there's any problems, at first I thought it was my internet service provider that I was losing internet, but no, it was the router. And so, sorry to say, I've gotten out of Netgear and I'm using D-Link now. So, still got a lot of Netgear switches, which is pretty cool. But now I got to go find some gigabit switches. Because I had to pull, another line. Luckily, I had put network connections throughout my house, and I put like multiple ports in different rooms. So let's see, I have the one coming out from the router. I have two coming from the router to ports behind my my desk here, and one goes straight to the switches that are in my desk, that I can go to all my different computers and the Xbox and the Roku that are up here. And the other one goes straight to the recording box, the Windows 7 box, and that's hooked straight up to the gigabit. So it's getting gigabit internet. That is awesome. I'll have to see how that really runs. I'll have to do a speed test That's what I need to do. I need to do a speed test, see how that goes. Haven't done one of those in a while. So maybe I'll do that right now. Hold on. All right. Well, I just did a test here. I did two tests. Actually, I did a couple of them. But, yeah, the two tests I did, one local from here, Elk Grove to Modesto, about 50 miles. I was getting 15, right around 15 down and around 13, 14 up. Now, I also did one all the way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And my download speed, now this is hooking up to Comcast, I guess was the server over there. 13.94 down, 10.54 up with a 91 millisecond ping time. Not bad, really, for 2,400 miles. That is a really, really good speed there. That's not bad. So if I was downloading an MP3, a 5 megabyte file, take 3 seconds, 35 megabyte video clip, 21 seconds, and an 800 megabyte movie, 8 minutes. Not too bad, is it? That's really good. So that's what the gigabit network. Jeez, I tell you, it's late. It's late here on Sunday night. So if you're wondering what's going on here, that's what it is. So anyway, I did that on speedtest.net. So that was pretty cool. All right. So yeah, you know, I'm running a D-Link DIR 655. Cost was about $77, I think it was. $79.99. And then for the wireless in dongle that I bought for the wife was $25. That was the Fry's brand. Still worked very easily. It was easy to set up and all that. Really, really nice. So she's running Windows Vista, and that's pretty cool. Running really, really well. All right, let's see. What do we have here? First couple things, you know, I just went ahead and randomly found some stuff as I was kind of watching the boys and watching them do whatever it is they wanted to do tonight. They were messing around and having a good time, beating each other up. It was a great family fun night. I found this Lego light. It's a Lego brick, and it's kind of one of those tap lights. I don't know if you remember those little infomercials they have with a tap light. You know, you get like four or whatever for $20 or something like that. Originally it was two, and then for another, you know, if you order now, you get another two, so I'll double your order. But it's basically like that. It's available over at ThinkGeek, which is really cool. And I found this via 7Gadgets originally. And over at ThinkGeek, this thing is going for $17.99. They are in stock. You can get a choice of four colors, blue, green, red, and yellow. And it's pretty cool. Yeah, you can put it up, you know, on your closet as a kind of a nightlight type thing or something like that. You can get up in the middle of the night. Your kids want to get up. They can go ahead and tap this thing. Pretty slick. It uses LED, so it's, you know, very cheap on the batteries. Uses three AAA batteries, which are included. And that is totally slick. It's a 3-inch by 3-inch by 1.25-inch deep. And the top of the brick is white. And you can choose clear, probably. Choose from red, yellow, green, or blue base. These are really, really nice. So if you like those, go ahead and check this out. Makes a nice little Christmas gift. Not that I was thinking of that, but I saw these. You know, it's Lego. It's pretty cool. All right. It is getting to be winter. So, you know, if you're in the... out in the West Coast, we had some pretty good snowfall up here in the Sierras this weekend. It's supposed to get like 5 feet. I don't think they probably got a full 5 feet. They probably got around 3 feet, I would say. But went over and talked about this last winter. And I knew it was coming out, but I don't think it had finally come out. And this is over at Device. They have GPS goggles that have the heads-up display on the interior. Well, it's really not a heads-up display. What it is, it's a little tiny display that, because of the proximity to your eye, it looks really big. But it sits down in your ski goggle, down on the right eye, down towards the, kind of close to the nose, a little off to the side there. Really, really slick design. And this is from Zeal Optics. This is the Transcend GPS. It's from you know, Zeal Optics, and it's got the buttons that operate this are on the right hand side near where the headband clips into the goggles. Really, really nice. It'll tell you temperature, location, vertical odometer, distance. It'll tell you altitude, your chronology, you know, your time, and speed. So if you're skiing, you're moving around, it'll tell you that. Snowmobiling, whatever you're doing, is really slick. They have two different versions of this, one for 400, one for 500. The 400 is the base model, and the $500 model has the pair of the goggles themselves, the optics, will change color depending on the lighting. So the brighter it is, the darker the glasses get. The lighter it is, the lighter the glasses get. That's really nice, especially if you're out, you know, skiing around and the daylight changes and things like that. Really, really works for you. So that was pretty cool. And like I said, I found that through a device this year. Talked about it last year. Finally, it's out and available. And I think, what did they say? If you wanted to go ahead, I'm clicking on the order now. Shipping's going to cost you $15, and it's a FedEx 3-day. So that is pretty slick. Yeah, if you want this, if you're a big, you know, skier, snowboarder, snowmobiler, whatever, this might be for you. These are really, really nice looking goggles. And speaking of snow, over at Toys R Us, you can get yourself for $10 a snow fling snowball thrower. It's pretty cool. What they show is a picture of this little kid. This kid has just got this long-armed, basically, it looks like a fly swatter with a short head, almost like a little, like, you know, a little cup at the end. And you can throw a snowball with this. That is too cool. What does it talk about? It is, there's no real details on this, but it's not available for store pickup, and it's not sold in stores. You have to buy this online, but you get free shipping on it. So right now, if you want to go ahead and get that, I'll have a link for that over at Toys R Us. That's pretty cool. I got to take my boys up to the snow here pretty soon since we got some. That'll be slick. All right, over at Gizmodo, they're showing a conceptual traffic light, which kind of shows you how much time is left on the light by using a sand glass icon, I guess is what you call it. Instead of showing, you know, the red, yellow, and green lights, and it just light up whichever one it's supposed to be, it uses the whole sign, the whole light portion, and it's all, you know, all LED. But what they show you is like an hourglass, like a sand hourglass, and you know, the green just kind of pours from the top to the bottom, so you kind of see what's going on. And you know, once it's about halfway, you know you're going to get, you know, this thing's going to end here, so you better get through the intersection. And then it'll give you the yellow signal, and it gives you a couple. It'll show the actual seconds, like 3, 2, 1, and I think it lasts for 4 seconds, 3, 4 seconds. And then it's supposed to show you another hourglass, which will show you the red, and it starts pouring out, which I don't like this, because what it does is it starts pouring out, and then it gets about halfway, you know, through the red, and then it gives you a 2-second, you know, a warning that you're going to go, that's going to change to green. I don't think that portion's good. I think it should just all, you know, the whole thing should just go red, or at least light up the red area. I think that probably would be better. If they would just take, instead of the top going through an hourglass and dropping it to the bottom, because if you're colorblind, you don't know what it is. You're not going to be able to tell the red from the green. So there's the flaw in this thing. I mean, this is from Yanko Design, via Gizmodo, but there I see is the flaw. If you're any bit, colorblind, this could be a problem. So why not just keep the relative position in the sign, but just make it go less and less and less and less, or maybe make rings or something like that, so that you can start to see it going down. Maybe like a little clock, you know, starts ticking away. That would probably be a little bit better. I don't know, or maybe it has a second, you know, shows a number. That could work. And then, you know, the yellow, I kind of like that idea, giving you, you know, how much time is left on the yellow so you know how safe it would be. You know, how long did, you know, that thing just change to yellow? Was I just not looking? I was looking at rear view mirror. Now I look back and it's yellow. Is it about to go red or is it, you know, just a few seconds left? That would probably be better. But I don't like the fact that they're going to tell you you're going to go from red to green. I can just see too many races going on there. That just makes it worse. So that's definitely that would definitely be a lawsuit waiting to happen as soon as somebody got hurt. So anyway, great concept. Needs a little bit of work. All right. Next up from over at Lifehacker, somebody built an analog bandwidth meter, which I could have probably used right now, but it's for old school network monitoring. What the person did, if you're a fan of gauges and in the industry that I'm in, you know, building new buildings and things like that, we put in energy plants. You know, we put in central plants for chilled water, for hot water, all this kind of stuff. So there's always gauges that we have to put in the mechanics and the piping and the and chilled water and the hot water and all this kind of stuff. So I get to see a lot of these gauges. Well, this is a really nice gauge, and what they did is somebody went ahead and took a cool voltage meter from back in 1908 and for kind of a steampunkish flair and kind of, took it and modded it into a modern networking monitoring device. So it'll check out his bandwidth, and he's went ahead and he put in, what did he do? He put in, some electronics in there, and then somehow he got the gauge to read out in an analog version of what his regular bandwidth would show. This is so cool. I'll have a picture of this, or I'll have a link to this because there's a video. You can kind of see this is awesome. So if you kind of like that stuff, it is really, really cool. And I think if you go visit the site that this links to, he actually has a parts list and schematics. That is too cool. So awesome, man. That's over at Lifehacker. All right, next up we have, again, over at Gizmodo. They're having an article here on the M55 electric bike. It's kind of a hybrid. It's, well, it's basically going to be the moped of the day. And, you know, the moped kind of grows up, and this is what you get with the newest thing here. It's the M55 Beast. And this thing really, really rocks. It is one of the coolest looking, almost looks like a mountain bike. Just really slick. I think that these guys could have definitely won an award just for the design. It's that beautiful. It's their new flagship model, and it's a result of four stages of evolution. And what they did is they tried to do a different high-tech frame materials and components and batteries. But everything they tried really wasn't that good. It didn't reach the limit that they wanted to get to. Because back in my day, you know, when we first had the mopeds come out, they really didn't look that cool. They were, they were green, and you can save a lot of gas and all that kind of stuff because we had the gas crisis going on back in the early 70s. And depending on, you know, back then, whether you're license plate ended in a one, not one or zero, but you know, hey, that's binary, even or odd, is when you can go ahead and buy fuel that day. I don't know what they did for the people who had the personalized license plates, probably put them in as an odd. But anyway, so gas went from like 25 cents a gallon back then up to probably hit like $2. I can't really remember. I was a kid. My dad had to deal with that. But I remember that, you know, OPEC kind of got us by the dinosaurs and squeezed us for everything we had. We made it through it and lived to get past that. But, the mopeds, while they're very green for, like I say, for the day, they really weren't that cool looking. This thing is just awesome. It's cool. This is a hybrid bike with not only exceptional performance, but a great outlook as well. The motor power and battery capacity is well over the industry standards for its kind of bike or kind of, you know, vehicle. And it has a truly futuristic look. They say if the Batman was a non-fictional person, he'd have this beast in his garage for sure. It's a little quote from the website there. And they say, although it may look like a downhill bike, it's not. The weight for the motor and battery pack require the burlier component, so it really needs to have all this shock absorbers and suspension and all that kind of stuff, and to give it a longer life expectancy. And at the same time, it climbs like a wonder, and thanks to Supreme Fox suspension, you'll have to wait for the descents. The stopping power is delivered by the frame brake company, Brembo, and you can find them on Formula One cars, but not on bikes until now. So they went ahead and did something just for this bike alone. This is really cool. Now let's see, what else can it do? It's got 70-75 aluminum frame, for the material and all that. It's a self-supported frame structure, integrated electric motor assist, integrated battery cell and hidden electric wiring, single pivot suspension systems, single piece swing or cast swing arm, and a 1 to 3 ratio. Now the motor is an EBPC electronic motor, approximately 90% efficient. It has a drive integrated rotation sensor, adjustable electronic assist. The ratios or the rated speed is 2400 RPM, and a rated torque is 5.2 nanometers. Did I get that right? Newton meters? I forget what that is. Dang. All right. Anyway, and it has a speed reduction gear mechanism that is integrated into the motor unit as well to increase the maximum assist torque to 104 nanometers. I think that's what it is. And it'll go 77 kilometers at 120 pedal cadence, 120 revolutions per second, I think it is. What is 77 kilometers an hour? Wow, that is a whopping 47.85 miles per hour. That's cool. So if you're in the market for a new bike and you want to get yourself like a moped, but you want it to look cool, this would be your bike. And it does look like it would be Batman's bicycle. It is just that technical looking, kind of high tech, and just dang cool looking. So do not even know what is the price. I only weighs 33 kilograms. Not bad at all. All right, doing a little bit of looking around. Looks like this bike's going to cost around $1,500, which is about right. I mean, it's got all sorts of neat gadgets and stuff like that. Integrated lighting. So it's got an integrated headlight. All the controls are on the handlebars. Really, really slick. I would love to get one of these, but, unless Santa's going to go ahead and be generous, I don't think it's going to happen. That could just be me, but I don't think so. Would love to have this, but anyway. Wanted to go over some tech gone bad. About 30 years ago, a lake in Louisiana turned into a swirling pit of destruction. In 1980, Texaco drilled down to look for oil beneath Lake Penaguer, a little too far down, supposedly. The mistake drained the entire lake like a bathtub, creating an enormous whirlpool that consumed barges, drills, 60 and 65 acres of land. What a fail. That is just phenomenal. The error lay in the fact that the Diamond Crystal Salt Company was simultaneously operating beneath the lake, essentially creating a giant bubble for Texaco to pop. This is just hilarious in a way. It was actually sad, really. The drilling proceeded. As the drilling proceeded, Texaco workers found that their gear stuck and the drill would go no further. Then suddenly it went further, a lot further. An entire 150-foot tall contraption, that drill, sunk beneath the water surface. The surface of the lake was only 10 feet deep, but their drill was just a start. I mean, it sucked in everything. And luckily, nobody died, which was interesting. But 30 years later, this thing just hilarious. And you can go ahead and there's some video here that you can go ahead and click on in this link. And I found this over also at Gizmodo. I think I saw a documentary that talked about this and they went into a little bit more about what happened. But it was really one of those, great fails. And, man, it took in, 11 barges, a tugboat, an enormous swath of forest because it just started sucking everything in. And the whirlpool's power was so great that it had reversed the flow of an entire canal that normally flowed outward from this lake. And the body now surged back into the depleted chasm, creating a temporarily, at least, the tallest waterfall in Louisiana state history. And it was the sole moment in history during which the Gulf of Mexico flowed north. That's funny. All right. Well, anyway, I'm sure someone really got fired for that. So, there's an archival film over at the History Channel. That's where I saw it. So, yeah, check this out. I mean, it's just one of the great fails of, oil industry, besides what happened out there in the Gulf of Mexico, just what they did in Louisiana. So, the oil companies are just kind of messing with those Gulf states. So, all right, what else did we have here? Now, this is from the No Tech magazine. It says, we believe in progress and technology. But one of the things this author is talking about is leaf blowers must die. It's a headline of his post here. And I have to agree with that because I don't know if you've ever, and I'm sure you have, heard them on a Sunday, Saturday morning, sometime on a weekend. You're laying in bed. Maybe you want to try and sleep in. Well, some idiot's got his, leaf blower going full blast, or, wherever you work, you can hear the lawn maintenance companies coming by and they got all their leaf blowers and all that. Those devices do not do anything positive. All they do is displace crap everywhere. This is probably one of the worst inventions ever, besides like maybe the atomic bomb. Only in the fact that the atomic bomb really kills people big time. This is one of these things where it's like it does nothing good. It displaces dust, dirt, pollen, whatever junk is laying around, and it just redistributes it. It doesn't really clean anything up. It's the weakling's broom. But it's worse than that. It's just you might as well just take a jet engine and blow off everything. So, they go through parking lots and things like that. They're just creating a hazard, projectiles flying everywhere. As a matter of fact, I don't know if it was a leaf blower or a guy with a weed eater working at our office complex actually shot out my back window of my truck one day. And called up the complex and the manager and said, hey, one of these guys using one of these two pieces of equipment just shot out my windshield, my rear window, my truck. And they're like, well, they're not even working today. I'm like, yeah, they were. I had a witness and they were here, an hour ago and this happened. And they never got back to me. They denied it. Nothing ever happened. They weren't there. Anyway, just the world's worst piece of equipment. So I thought I'd just bring that up as an aside to everything else. So I had to go ahead and step on my soapbox, and I think that will be it. So with that, that is going to be the end of this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, no matter if it's on Stitcher Radio, the Roku, the Boxy. The Boxy Box is actually out there being sold now. iTunes, through the podcatcher of any kind, or from a website player. Hey, if you like the show, and I think you do, please recommend us to a friend. Don't forget, Black Friday's coming up, all right? So in 1 week, you have Cyber Monday. But I tell you what, the Black Friday ads, you can see them online and all that. You can go ahead and stand in line if you want. And I'll probably be one of the many, running of the fools Friday morning. But if you're really, really smart, really savvy, start looking online early. The day before Thanksgiving Day, be online, get ready to pull a trigger, have your credit card ready, whatever you need to do. You can get some really good deals. Okay. So go ahead, check those things out. Let me know what you're doing. And, I want to hear from you. Please send me an email or audio comment to tctpodcast@gmail.com. You know, let me know what you think is cool tech. What should we be talking about on the show? Or you can go ahead and call me at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast listener line, area code 540-999-TECH. And you can follow us on Twitter. Just look for TCT Podcast. And if you want to say something, if you have something to say, and I do have somebody who wants to say something to us and kind of rebut my episode of last about all the tablets, and specifically, I think a certain one, Bruce is going to be sending something in. You can go ahead and do that. Keep it clean and we'll play it. So I'm looking forward to Bruce giving me some feedback on the last episode, and hopefully that'll be real soon. So, all right, with that, I will see you next time. Thank you very much, everybody.